O Lord, be with you.
And with your spirit.
Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves into a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When Jesus disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
What unites all the readings today is a focus on Jesus as our Good Shepherd. It tells us at the very end of today's passage, Jesus disembarked and saw the multitude that had done something very hard. Jesus would have crossed the top of the Sea of Galilee, probably going from Bethsaida to Capernaum or vice versa. And for them to have done it would have meant going from 10 or from 10 to 2 on the clock or vice versa. It would have been a walk of several miles. It would have included a little bit of guesswork in terms of where he might come. But they were seeking him. Jesus, recognizing this as he disembarked, immediately began to serve them as a good shepherd. And it tells us very clearly how he served them. When his heart was exploding, his bowels were exploding with mercy, literally, he began to teach them many things, because he knew that these lost sheep needed the Good Shepherd's teaching. We also see what the Good Shepherd did for the apostles. As soon as they had returned from their first mission, Jesus recognized how tired they were. It would have been a physically exhausting task, just walking from town to town everywhere. But not to mention, it would be a difficult task, because the same four types of soil that Jesus preached to us about, they would have found. They would, of course, found some people who would have responded with great fruit. But they also would have found the stubborn, hardened soil by the roadside. They would have found that superficial, rocky soil in which they'd say, "Boy, you're a good speaker," and then not have their lives changed at all whenever anything else popped up. There would be a lot of thorns in the soil, those worldly cares and anxieties, which would choke the growth of the kingdom among them. They came back and they would have been not only physically exhausted, but a little bit of psychologically exhausted, a little bit of spiritually exhausted. There's a reason, for example, why in the letter to the Hebrews today, the counsels given to all the Christians of the ancient world, obey your leaders and defer to them, for they keep watch over you and you'll have to give an account, that they may fulfill their task with joy and not with sorrow, for that would be of no advantage to you. There's an implicit reminder here that to be a shepherd of others, as Jesus was forming the apostles to be in his name, brings with it a lot of sorrow. It's hard work. And when you try to sow the seed of the Word of God and it doesn't stick and it doesn't bear fruit, it is a real source of sorrow. So sometimes, yeah, people ask, "What would be the best thing I could do for my pastor or for this priest? Give him a present." To show up for something he's doing. Respond to an appeal that he makes. So much more important than a bottle of wine. So much more important than an Amazon gift card or a painting or whatever else. Jesus took the apostles aside because he knew that they needed to rest for a while. And our Christian rest is not a vacation in the Bahamas. Our Christian rest, Jesus will tell us, is to take his yoke upon us and learn from his humility and meekness, because his yoke is gentle and sweet. That's where we will find rest for our souls. And Jesus' yoke is his cross, but not the wood of the cross so much, but it's the love that makes that bearing that wood of the cross, however heavy, bearable. So that's what Jesus wanted to do, taking them away. He did. He gave them that refreshment. This gospel is often used to launch retreats. Whenever I preach retreats on the weekends, this is where we start. Because Jesus constantly calls us apart from the crowds to rest with Him. It's one of the things that we have a chance to do here with weekly adoration, where people respond to the Good Shepherd's being here, summoning them to come and at least spend an hour with Him so that He can unite ourselves to Him in a way that will bring us rest in the midst of so much physical activity, in the midst of certain spiritual or emotional pains. But that's not all the Good Shepherd does. We see in the letter to the Hebrews that the God of peace, God the Father, who brought up from the dead the great Shepherd of the sheep, may He furnish you with all that is good that you may do His will. May He carry out in you what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, wants to transform us in such a way that from within we will be able to carry out everything that is pleasing to the Father. When Jesus yokes us to Himself, it's not just to refresh us so that we will be able to relax with Jesus for the rest of life, but Jesus unites us to Him so that after that rest, we might go out in those other 6 days of the week, work, just like the Father's always working, work for the Father's glory, work to establish His kingdom. But it's not something that once we've been given that refreshment by the Lord, we do on our own. It's the Good Shepherd carrying out in us whatever is pleasing to the Father. What an awesome thing the Christian life is. A lot of the times we try to do things like Martha on our own. So we need to do things like Mary, yoked to the Lord from the inside out. And then all that we're asked to do becomes so much easier, which doesn't mean easy. At the very beginning of this reading, we see one of the things that the Good Shepherd wishes to do in us. Through Jesus, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that confess His name. Jesus inside of us wants to teach us how to offer God a continual sacrifice of praise, confessing His name. Whenever that expression, confess His name, is used in sacred scripture, it doesn't mean confess His name to the wall in a private dark room. It means Jesus wants to help us from within to confess His name from the rooftops. To confess His name in nearby towns and villages, to confess His name in season and out of season. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, yoking Himself to us on the inside, is helping us precisely to give this sacrifice of praise of people who have been transformed by the Lord that they can't help talking about it. This is what the Good Shepherd wants to do. We prayed in the responsorial psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have it all. In verdant pastures He gives me repose. Besides restful waters He leads me, He refreshes my soul." Jesus wants to do the same thing with us that He did with the apostles. He takes us away from the crowds for a little while to rest with Him, to refresh our soul, to give us the type of rest we need. A lot of the times when we say we have it all, we lack for nothing, we think immediately in a material sense. But what we need more than anything else is the Lord and the type of peace and rest He gives us. And that's what He does when He takes us aside. That's why it's so key for us to respond to that invitation. The Lord Jesus teaches us, as we've already talked about. And so this greatest of all the Psalms says, "He guides me in right paths for His name's sake, so that I might confess His name through a good moral life." And He helps us to do this even in the midst of human vicissitudes. "Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for You're at my side with Your rod and Your staff to give me courage." Jesus is constantly encouraging us. But one of the ways that He does it most is allowing us to traverse dark valleys. Because if we're just on sunny mountaintops, we can begin to think we don't need him. But the Good Shepherd sometimes allows us to get lost so that we can turn to him and receive precisely the help he came into the world to give. It's only when we're in a dark valley that we can appreciate the rod and the staff that encourage us. And finally, that Good Shepherd, with his viscera exploding, with his guts, being sick to his stomach, is what the splankta means in Greek. From his stomach, he wants to feed our own. We'll see this expression used a lot, that his heart was moved with compassion for the crowd, and he fed them. And at the end of the psalm today, we see exactly what the Good Shepherd is doing to us today, having taught us and now about to feed us. You spread the table before me in the sight of all those who oppose me. You anoint my head with oil, as he already has at baptism and at confirmation. My cup's overflowing. Do we realize that even on our worst days, because we have God in our life, our cup is always over the brim, because God is constantly shaking things down, pouring it into our lap so that it might be overabundant. And that's why we can say, even on our worst days, truthfully, only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. Because the Lord, our shepherd, makes sure we lack for nothing. And that's why we can be confident that we will dwell in the house of the Lord, beginning here into eternity. Today, let us turn to our Good Shepherd. Let us not sadden him, but fill his shepherdly task with sorrow by the way we obey him, defer to him, listen to his voice, follow him, allow him to yoke us to himself, give us repose, and help us offer a continual sacrifice of praise to the Father, the fruit of lips that confess his name. This is what the angels and the saints are doing in the Father's house forevermore, and this is what they're cheering us on to do here. O Good Shepherd, thank you for your work. Please bring it to completion. Help us to obey you so that we might fill you with joy, for with you we have it all.